I want to begin by reading what we find in the Catechism regarding the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother. And paragraph 966 is the sum total of the teaching. And it begins with a quote from the Byzantine liturgy, the liturgy of the East. Because in the East, they don't celebrate the Assumption of Mary, but the Dormition. Not significantly different, but just a slight change in the emphasis. And it's interesting that in the official teaching of the Catholic Church, that we don't quote from one of the Western traditional documents, but from this document of the East. Finally, the Immaculate Virgin, preserved free from all stain of original sin, when the course of her earthly life was finished, was taken up, body and soul, into heavenly glory, and exalted by the Lord as Queen over all things, so that she might be more fully conformed to her Son, the Lord of Lords and Conqueror of sin and death. That's the end of the quote. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin is a singular participation in her Son's resurrection and an anticipation of the resurrection of other Christians. And then there's this quote from the Troparion. In giving birth, you kept your virginity. In her Dormition, you did not leave the world, O Mother of God, but were joined in the source of life. You conceived the living God and by your prayers will deliver our souls from death. So it summarizes beautifully what we celebrate when we gather for this feast, the Solemnity of the Assumption, that it's about the singular day when Mary's soul and body were taken to be with God, to be with the Lord. But it doesn't limit it to that. Mary was received that gift of what we ourselves, we know from reading the last two chapters of the book of Revelation, Revelation 21 and 22, which describes what happens at the end of time when all things are brought together, not by us evacuating, not by our souls going to be with God in heaven, but by heaven crashing into earth and then all things being restored and renewed, and that we will finally be then, our bodies will be recreated to be with God forever in the New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, as it descends from heaven to be here on earth. So it's this utter transformation. And Mary is the first to receive that fruit, just as Jesus was, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, and both the vigil mass last night and our readings today have passages from 1 Corinthians 15, because it's the most magnificent description of the fruits of the resurrection, that Jesus is described as being the first fruits of that gift. That Jesus is the one who overcomes and conquers death because of the Father's glory. The Father cannot see Jesus rot or in his continued experience of death. So he is caught up in the resurrection and then in the ascension, that he takes his place at the right hand of the Father. Now, there's no scriptural passages, of course, that describe that moment when Mary came to the end of her life. Again, we don't teach that she died necessarily. We remain agnostic about that point. But at the end of her life, we know that having been conceived without sin, having lived a life dedicated to the Lord, having been given that utter privilege of being the Ark of the Covenant, the new bearer of the very presence of God in the world, then how could she see corruption? And so she is taken, body and soul, to be with the Lord in heaven. Now, we again don't answer the question of exactly where that happens or how that happens or physically or what that manifestation kind of looks like. But it is this anticipation. And so this Feast of the Assumption becomes for us the most personal of our feasts, because it becomes the hope of every Christian, anyone who dedicates himself to God, anyone who longs for the breaking in of the kingdom of God. We are privileged to know that this is our hope, that we also, although we will die and although our bodies will rot and our bodies will decompose in the tomb, of course, there are some of the saints who have been preserved from that process of the slow deterioration and the corruption of their bodies. And yet we receive this beautiful gift of knowing that that will not be the end of our story. That will not be the final chapter of our lives, that will happen when our bodies are made new, when new creation is finally revealed for us. and that wonderful image that the Anglican philosopher and scientist Pockenham describes, that God will upload our kind of software to his servers, if you like, and then in the time of the new creation, he will create this new hardware for us and then download the software, download our personalities, download our being to create this new reality to be in the very presence of each other and in the wonder of what will happen in that new creation. And so the assumption is about Mary, yes, but it's also always about the gift of Jesus, about what he has done to achieve this result, but the gift of what he's offering for us as well, that he's calling us into this life. And how do we live that life? How do we find our fulfillment in God? By giving ourselves every day to the Lord, by acknowledging the grace and the goodness of God, and by letting God invite us more deeply into that experience and into that life today. Let's make that choice to pronounce our mother blessed, to pronounce our God to be the source and life of all goodness. Let's continue to surrender our hearts to him and cry out to God and allow him to do that work within us by bringing us to freedom and fulfillment.